Welcome to Moments with Marianne. Allow me to interrupt your train of thought with something that may be one of the most interesting things you hear today. This is Marianne Pestana, and I'm so honored to introduce our special guests today. We have Linda Francis and Gary Zukoff, and they're here today to share with us the new book, Universal Human, Creating Authentic Power and the New Consciousness. Now, many of you know Gary. He's the author of the number one New York Times bestseller, The Seat of the Soul. And for years, he's conveyed the most complex insights in language we all can understand. Over and over, he challenges us to see the depth of our potential in the world and act on that awareness. I'm so honored to announce that we also have Linda Francis here with us today. She is the co-founder of the Seat of the Soul Institute. She is deeply dedicated to assisting individuals in aligning their personality and soul in order to create authentic power. So let's welcome to the show, Gary and Linda.
Thank you, Marianne.
Thank you, Marianne.
Oh my gosh, what an honor it is to have both of you here. I consider you both to be extreme luminaries in my book. Why don't you share with us, gosh, Universal Human, like what inspired you to write that?
I've been working on that book for 33 years, and the universe inspired me to write that. Another way of saying that is that book has been working on me for that long, and neither one of us is finished, but it was time to share both. So now the Universal Human is coming out in 2021, very soon. And I was inspired to write it because I realized some time ago that we are in the midst of an amazing transformation in consciousness. And by we, I'm talking about the human species. This is an unprecedented shift in human consciousness. It's a shift to human consciousness. That means it's not just different experiences. It's a difference in what we can experience. We have an expanded awareness now, and hundreds of millions of people are feeling it. And some are just beginning to recognize it. Some are frightened by it. Some are celebrating it. But within a few generations, everybody will have this expanded perception. So this is multisensory perception. It's the five senses plus another sensory system. So it's in that context that Universal Human emerges, because this unprecedented transformation expands our awareness beyond the five senses, so that we begin to think or realize or sense that we're more than bodies and minds, that we have another component, that we have a part of us that existed before we were born and that will exist after we die. And that's what multisensory perception reveals. It's real. It's powerful. We are each powerful and creative, compassionate, and loving spirits. And the pain in our lives is a measure of the distance between our self-perception and that reality. And with this new multisensory perception comes new potential. And the big new potential is, in the immediate run, short run, a new understanding of power. The old understanding of power is manipulating and controlling. Whoever can do that the best has got the most power. But that doesn't work anymore. In fact, it's counterproductive. It's toxic. It's poison. It produces only violence and destruction. So the new understanding of power is what Linda and I share in the best, the clearest ways that we can. And the new power is the alignment of your personality with your soul. That means with harmony, cooperation, sharing, and reverence for life. And that power is entirely different. It's created differently. Its effects are different. And it's now necessary for our evolution. So all of this is the answer to your question, when did What was the inspiration for the universal human, and when did it start working on me? Started working on me almost a generation ago. Like our granddaughters were not yet born. And the universal human emerges from an authentically powerful human species. That's the stage that we're in now. We're transforming from five-sensory to multi-sensory, from the understanding of power as ability to manipulate and control, to the understanding of power as the alignment of personality with soul, specifically your personality with your soul. That means only you can create it. No one can do that for you, and you can't do that one for anyone else. So, universal human is an introduction to the phase of evolution that we're in now, five-sensory to multi-sensory, which is huge. Now, five-sensory evolution has proceeded at a plodding rate for either 2.5 million years or 300,000 years, depending upon which anthropologists you read and when they start talking. But you don't have to be an anthropologist to know that we are in the shift now. And I feel that the people who are listening to us, to you and me and Linda on your podcast, Moments with Marianne, are already resonant with this. In fact, resonant with the fact that every moment is special. Every moment is a miracle. No moment is a replication of one that came before, nor could it ever be, nor will it ever be. But each moment is so fertile, so pregnant with potential. How to utilize that potential, which means how to create authentic power, is what Linda and I are dedicated to sharing to the best of our ability. And we thank you very much. I thank you very much for inviting us on to your beautiful podcast to share it here with you and with your viewers, now our viewers and listeners.
I think Marianne also does a radio show too, so it could be a radio show, people that are listening to it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. All of that are technological technicalities. That means they're not significant. They're just modalities. The content of what we're talking about is what is important, because that's what using will change your life. Mm-hmm. That's what acting with the new consciousness will change our world. Mm-hmm. And the only way we can do that is by changing ourselves. But I jumped ahead a little bit.
Radio show, podcast, you know, tomato, tomato, it's all the same, you know. So, but, you know, I was so impressed because in your book, you talk about the great change. And I know you've kind of been talking about that right now, but it's interesting because you hear a lot of people say, oh, we're going through this massive shift. And it's not what they think. I was so impressed to read what you are saying, the events are not the great change. And I think a lot of people confuse that.
That's right. As we look around, it's evident that our social structures are becoming dysfunctional. And the reason for that is they are. They're not, and they can't be fixed because they're not broken. They're obsolete. They were created by five-sensory humans. And by social structures, I mean education, health, governance, commerce, even jurisprudence, the military, all of them, and they're being replaced. The old social structures that we're seeing become dysfunctional are based on power as external. They are built on external power, manipulation and control. They express external power. Their foundation is external power. And that foundation is disappearing. And they will be replaced by social structures that reflect not the personality, but the soul, and reflect not external power, but authentic power. And that's what's very exciting. So this transformation is easy to see outside. Although if you're only looking outside, you might think there's nothing new going on. There's division, there's polarization, there's racism, there's bigotry, there's people living in poverty, suffering in slavery. There's ongoing warfare around the world. And yet all of that is, you might say, the end stage of a dying consciousness. And we are at the beginning of a new consciousness. And by we, I mean hundreds of millions of people. And we stand with one foot in the old consciousness and one foot in the new. And each moment we are challenged, which will you choose? And by we who are becoming or are multisensory, I do not mean people who are in any way superior to those who are still five sensory. This is just a temporary ebb and flow in evolution. Within a few generations, around two or three, we'll all be multisensory. And our grandchildren may look back and read The Seed of the Soul or Universal Human, and they'll say, well, I thought Grandpa Gary and Grandma Linda were supposed to be visionary, but there's nothing visionary about this. This is our lives. This is how we are. How could that be called visionary? It's so, I won't say ordinary. They'll say it's so miraculous. Isn't everything every moment?
Yeah, my goodness, that's so beautiful. Because when you think about it, gosh, we're in this exciting time in history. And while your grandkids might look back, I'm excited to think that they're in a place like that, you know, where they're so, their, you know, consciousness is so elevated that looking back on, you know, what we're working through now would seem basic to them.
Well, the working through may continue, because the working through is, put it this way, the new consciousness is a gift. We're all receiving the gift. The gift is bringing a new potential. That potential is authentic power. That does not happen automatically. We have to create that. It's the same as saying we have to create love in our lives. We have to bring that into our lives. Well, that's not new. Everybody is thinking they'd like to do that. Not everybody, but at heart, that's what everyone wants, literally. So now it's necessary to evolve. In other words, to evolve in the past, all we needed to do was survive. We were five sensory and we evolved by surviving, and we survived by pursuing external power. Now we're multisensory. We evolve by growing spiritually, and we grow spiritually by creating authentic power. And that's what Linda and I share, how to do that. Beloved, do you have anything to add? I've been doing most of the talking.
I just love how you're explaining, because, and Marianne, I love your questions, because I feel like you really understood what's in Universal Human, and I appreciate that. And I love how you're sharing it, beloved, because it's hard to, for me, being multisensory is something that I didn't know that I was multisensory when I was young, but yet I had so many experiences, but I didn't know what it was. And I didn't say anything to anyone because I really didn't feel like I could. I didn't think they would understand. And, but as I began to see, well, it's such an amazing thing to become multisensory, but that was really just the beginning of my process anyway, because once I knew that, once I really saw what that gift that I had, the gift from the universe, I began to see, oh, but I want to create authentic power. I want to create differently than I had been, because I'd been creating in fear for my whole life, because I didn't realize there was another choice. And when I began to see, oh, I can create authentic power, it was so powerful for me, because then it became my everyday life. How can I create from love? And every moment, actually, is how can I create with love rather than fear? How can I recognize when I'm in fear and not create the way that I used to and create with love? And so that's been my practice for all these years since I read The Seat of His Soul in 1989, and then met Gary a few years later. So I'm really grateful to know why I'm here on the earth, and that is to create authentic power and support other people in that.
Now, everyone has got a gift to give or gifts to give. You're giving your gift in many ways, and one of them is sharing the wisdom that you've come to recognize and resonate with and then gather into a radio show or a podcast, the same. Your gift might be to raise a family. Mm-hmm. It might be to bring a new understanding of commerce is radically transformational, an understanding of commerce that is generates profits in order to serve and to support people rather than serving and supporting people in order to generate profits. It's the same. It's the same creativity, but the old bottom line of business is generated by fear, by avariciousness, greed. But those are just labels. They're not judgmental labels. They're descriptive labels, labels of people who are in so much pain that they must keep accumulating to cover that pain or acquiring. And that's all of us. We all struggle to accumulate more recognition, more admiration, more ability to be comfortable. And the pit is bottomless because it comes from a pain at the center of human consciousness, the pain of powerlessness, the pain of feeling that we don't belong, the feeling that I'll put it in the second person, that you don't belong, that if somebody should recognize you, should see you the way you see yourself, they wouldn't want anything to do with you because it's ugly. The feeling that, or the perception, the experiential perception that you're inherently flawed or defective intrinsically. This is an unbearable pain, and people mask it by doing all the things that we now can recognize as fearful activities. They express themselves, they become angry, jealous, resentful, vengeful. They become compulsive, addictive, obsessive. They can't get enough of whatever they're looking for. And what they need to mask this pain, whether it's money, admiration, sex, food, gambling, shopping, sleep. But now all of that is changing. And we are so happy to be sharing this change from our perception. There's no single perception that can encapsulate the universe. But we can each offer what we can. And the important thing is the intention with which we do it. Is it love or is it fear? So as you create authentic power, you begin to be able to distinguish between love and fear. And you can do it in a fail-safe, sure way that it might be quite surprising to you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's what we're here to do, actually. I lived my life in fear. It didn't look like fear to me. I was pleasing people. I felt inferior to some people, felt superior to other people. I felt like I needed to be in relationships with men, a man, and I wanted to find one that was the right one. And I was looking and searching for a long time. And then finally something happened that changed everything for me. I had read The Seat of a Soul in 1989, and I knew that what was in the book, it resonated with me so deeply, although no one had ever said anything to me like that before. And I was in this relationship that I thought was my spiritual person that I was going to be with. So, I met him at a spiritual retreat, this guy. And it was so interesting because I was with him, and because I needed to be in that relationship, I needed to feel loved, and I didn't notice the things that were going on, the clues that I had. So it came. There came a time when someone who didn't know that I was in a relation. Anyway, it doesn't matter. That part doesn't matter. What matters is I found out that he was in a relationship with someone else. Not only that, he was engaged to be married to someone. At the same time, he was in the relationship with me. And I had no idea. And that put me into a choice. And I could have made a choice to be a victim and feel bad and have this story about this man who didn't tell me the truth, who betrayed me, who violated me, and all of that. But instead, I knew that I wanted to learn everything I could from what happened, you know, that I didn't listen to what I was being given before I found this out. And I didn't listen for the clues. So what I did is I decided that I would feel, I don't know if I really decided, but I just started feeling the pain of powerlessness. It was so painful to realize this
happened. That's not something you need to decide.
No, I didn't decide. I felt it. But what I mean by that is I felt so much pain, but I knew that I wanted to use these physical sensations and this feeling of powerlessness to learn about myself rather than blame someone else. So I felt it so deeply, and I knew that I wanted to create in another way, and I wanted to create love, and I didn't know what that really meant. And so after feeling all that pain, I had this realization that I could, you know, I can decide what I want to do. And so the next time I met this person, which was actually very soon after this had happened, I realized everything had changed for me because I didn't need him any longer. The love that I thought I had for him was actually the need that I had for him. Mm-hmm. So what happened is I saw that I actually loved him for the first time in a real way, as another soul on the planet. But I didn't want to be in a relationship with him. I didn't want to have that relationship anymore. So I told him that I really thanked him. He gave me a great gift because I was able to feel all this pain that had been in me forever and be able to see myself as someone who could be loved. And I could love other people, but not needing him to complete me. It wasn't like that at all. And so I was able to change everything for myself, actually. And I really feel, had I not allowed that to happen, and instead I'd have felt like a victim, because that had happened to me before, earlier in my life, where someone I felt betrayed me, and it was a big story in my life. But this time it wasn't a story at all. It was like, oh, this happened so I could learn about myself, so I could deeply learn about myself and really learn about loving myself and having compassion for myself and for this other person. And it helped me to have compassion for everyone because I know we all have pain, and we can either feel our pain and grow from it, or we can stuff it and try to do other things to cover it up. But I didn't want to do that. I wanted to feel it. And so from that, I really saw how I could actually have a healthy relationship with a man. I didn't know what that meant because I had never had one. And so I began to, but I didn't care. I didn't need a relationship anymore. And so I started, it really changed everything for me, that point in my life. And I know that if I had not made that choice, Gary and I would have never come together. We would have never met because there would have been no reason for that, because we came together to share about authentic power. We came together to share about how to be in spiritual partnership. That's why we're here together with each other. And I've had many more areas of my life that were based in fear, like feeling inferior to Gary, was one big one for me that I had to work on because he'd written the Dancing Woolly Masters and The Seat of the Soul, which really changed everything for me. I began to see myself in a different way. And then our relationship when we came together, of course, it wasn't that the fear in me was gone. It wasn't that, but I could look at it as not blaming him, but changing myself. And that's the way I look at it all the time, that anytime I have a reaction to anyone in any way, it helps me to learn about who I am, so that I can change that in me rather than try to change someone else.
Oh my goodness. That's so powerful. That is so powerful, because you often see people who, you know, they have life experiences that happen. I know Gary before was talking about, you know, it's kind of like filling that black hole. There's never enough of stuff or things, you know, different degrees. People are in that fear, but to get to a place where you can recognize it and say, okay, what inside me do I need to make shifts and adjustments with? I mean, that's so powerful.
Yeah, it was a very powerful moment for me. And I did have some things I needed to look at about myself. He was showing me things about me that I didn't want to see about myself. And once I could see that and have compassion for myself, that I had those parts of me also in me as the things that I thought I saw in him, it changed. It changed the way I looked at everyone and the way that I am in my life. And I have such gratitude. And I have gratitude for you, beloved, for writing The Seat of a Soul, because without that, it gave me such guidance and such support in being able to see myself in a different way. And I'm so grateful that we get to share and be together.
Well, it you know, the work that you both do has really helped people make a shift and consciousness, and I know with Universal Human, it continues to do that. You know, and it was interesting when I was reading the book. There's a portion that says, "Outside the fence lies a new awareness, deep understanding, and greater freedom." What do you mean by that?
Well, when a child grows up, let's say, is put in a backyard, and there's a fence around it to keep him from going outside of the backyard and stay safe inside the fence. And so the child explores inside the fence everything. Everything he can taste or touch or hear or smell. It pulls up plants. It tries to eat dirt. It plays in a sandbox. It gets fascinated with the flower that grows. But the day will come when the learning environment of the enclosed area that the fence creates no longer serves the development of the child. And it's time to move beyond the fence. Because beyond the fence, it interacts with intelligences that are in advance of its own. It sees a larger world that it impacts and that impacts upon it. This is the part of the growth of every child. We all know that. The five senses have been our fence, as our species was five sensory. It's been the learning environment in which we have explored everything that we can experience with the five senses, or with an extension of the five senses. For example, an electron microscope or a radio astronomy. In these ways, we can probe into the realm of the very small and the very large, but it's five sensory. Now we've moved beyond that limitation. That's the huge shift in human consciousness, or to human consciousness. These are not changes in what we experience, but changes in what we can experience. We are now, as we become multisensory, moving beyond the fence. We are coming into conscious contact with beings that are in advance of our own consciousness. We are beginning to see the world in a different way. We see ourselves in a different way. For example, we begin to think, I'm more than a mind and a body. I know I am. We begin to see the world as more than random. And so we stop praying for good luck or bad luck and trying to make ourselves feel better. We look at the meaning that the world shows us about ourselves. when we were five sensory, the only thing it could show us was itself, the external world, the world of time, space, matter, and duality. And so we learned everything that we could about it, and we're still learning. For example, we learned remarkable things. The speed of light in a vacuum is 126,222 miles per second. But when we look at the world as five, as multisensory humans, we learn about ourselves. It becomes symbolic. We see things that repulse us, and we begin to realize that what is repulsing us is a recognition outside ourselves of something inside us that has been too painful or shameful for us to acknowledge or experience. So when we say, for example, that a business or a social structure is based on greed, it's not the people in the business structure, in the social structure of business, that are creating it. We are creating it. We are seeing in ourselves what needs to be changed in us so that we can change the world. We can't change the world by putting up posters or putting up signs by freeways saying greed is bad, leave it alone, try love instead. It won't work because we're trying to manipulate someone to become loving, and that's driving with the brakes on. We can't. No one can manipulate us into being loving. We've seen signs like that ourselves. Only we can make ourselves loving, and only we can do it by finding in ourselves every aspect of ourselves that isn't loving and challenging it and moving beyond the control of it, beyond the control of our anger and judgment and vengeance and obsessions and addictions and compulsions. Then, as these aspects of ourselves that prevent our experience of love begin to lose their control over us, we begin to experience love. And at the same time, when we do experience love, we cultivate it consciously. And by that I mean, gratitude, caring, appreciation, patience, awe of the universe, contentment. When we have those experiences, we don't think to ourselves, well, that was nice, and notice it in passing as maybe a fortunate experience. We recognize it. We say, that was a loving part of my personality. I just experienced it. And I'm going to remember it. I'm going to remember this moment so that when I'm in a frightened part, like rage or jealousy, I can reach back to this part as well as I can. Maybe I can't go all the way back there, but I can remember that it happened and let that begin to influence me. And in that way, I move away from fear and I move toward love. And as you do that, you create authentic power. As you do that again and again and again, you reach toward the healthiest, most sane, grounded, connected part of yourself. When you feel the magnetic attraction and the pain of a part of yourself that's the opposite of all those things, when you're ranting or enraged, or you feel like you want to curl up or in a depression or manic, in those moments you remember the moments that were grounded and sane and healthy and loving, and you can reach for them, because where your attention goes, you go. And as you do that again and again, you create authentic power. And that is the evolutionary modality of our species now. That's the big shift. That's the big change. And what we do with the big change is for us to decide. Transformation doesn't start until you start it. In you, not in the world. You can't change the world. Try it. Try convincing somebody they ought to be more loving. Take a pamphlet and knock on doors and talk about Christ. Sell incense and talk about Hare Krishna and how that's going to change someone's life. It could. Love and enlightenment can change lives, but you can make somebody loving or enlightened. Only they can do that. That's the work. Our work now is creating authentic power, moving beyond fear, beyond the control of fear, experimenting with love, transforming our lives from experiences to experiments.
Oh my goodness. I feel like I just went to church, you know, because this information is so empowering and will help so many people just to be able to understand this in a more profound way. And, you know, it has me thinking, and maybe you can help me understand this a little bit better, but when people go and we're doing things out of love, does that have a ripple effect to the people around us?
Yes. And that ripple extends farther than you can imagine. It extends, well, let me be very dramatic. It extends throughout time and beyond. This learning environment that we're in has many properties that don't exist outside of it. One of them is time. And as you become multisensory, you begin to sense that part of yourself that exists outside of this learning environment. That's going beyond the fence, as we discussed a little while earlier. And by the way, at all of our events and at the beginning of our books is this thought. So we, Linda and I, or I if I'm writing, don't ask that you believe what we're saying. Or even we don't expect you to. We suggest that you not. We suggest that if anything that we say resonates with you in a good way, that you experiment with it. And even if it repulses you, that can be a resonance also. It can be a resonance that activates a frightened part of your personality that doesn't want to hear any of that. But if it resonates with you, experiment with it. Try it on for size. And if it makes a constructive change in your life, do it again. If it doesn't, throw it away. Don't try to wear a shoe that doesn't fit.
I understand that. And, you know, Linda and Gary, I know both of you feel if someone is getting comfort from their religion, then that's so positive and so powerful. You know, this discussion goes beyond religion. We're actually talking about the heart of pure consciousness, what fuels the soul.
This is a window. All the things that we've shared with you on this show, on this podcast, on this time that we're together in the Earth School through the medium of the internet, which is artificial. The internet itself is a reflection in physical reality of human consciousness, in this case, collective consciousness. Five sensory humans think that the internet connects us and makes us closer. Multisensory humans realize the internet is a reflection in the Earth School of the growing awareness of our species of how connected we are. This is all multisensory perception, and it's coming to hundreds of millions of us, and it's a good thing. It's the best thing.
Yeah, thank goodness.
And it is. Well, this is not to say that the pursuit of external power was negative, any more than we can say that candle power was negative. It simply became obsolete. We had no longer a use for it. The same is true for external power and the world that five sensory humans created using external power. It's obsolete now. Except there's one difference that's important. Candles, burning candles today, even though we have electricity, microwaves, satellites in space and interplanetary travel. It's what we are. It's what we do that is important. It's the intention that we hold when we speak or when we act that is important. And five sensory humans, when they built this world that we've inherited, weren't aware of some of these things. Some multisensory humans around whom religious institutions enveloped like an incrustation around a pearl saw these things, lived these things, shared these things. But the incrustations around them don't.
The dogma,
the rigidity, the Holy Roman, quote, put quotes around holy, Inquisition that tortured so many people and put them to death. The brutal riots of Muslim on Hindu or Hindu on Muslim. Those activities are pursuits of external power, and they have nothing to do with the multisensory individuals who injected into their five sensory culture of the day, of the moment, a universal truth. In the case of Christianity, that was love. In the case of Buddhism, that was enlightenment. And every religious institution has at its core a universal truth against which the institution stands. Isn't that ironic? But people who are waking begin to see the kernel of universal truth that their religious institution claims as its own, and these individuals are claiming it as their own. My love for life, my love for my neighbor, that's mine. That's not Christianity. That's I, Gary Zukav. That's I, Mary Ann. That's I, Linda Francis. Enlightenment, the ability to see beyond the Earth School, to see intelligence and brilliance and divinity, more brilliant than 10,000 suns, to see worlds without end, each with pathways to enlightenment. That didn't belong, that doesn't belong to Buddhism. That belongs to me. That's mine now. I'm a multisensory individual on this earth. And my name is, and give it a name, Gary Zukav, Mary Ann, Linda. That name will disappear when your personality dies and your soul returns home. But for the moment, use it. That's what creating authentic power is, using your personality consciously to align it with the energy and the intentions of your soul. Then you become these things that we needed to take on faith or believe with faith because we see them. Because our lives are so painful without creating authentic power, without bringing love into our lives with emotional awareness and responsible choice, that we don't want to live because it's too painful. Well, this is the path that brings most people to a spiritual road. Pain that drops them to their knees, unbearable pain, emotional pain. But you don't have to wait for that to happen in your life. You can start now. The pain is there. Don't worry. It will come. The frightened parts of your personality will be activated by the world. But what's activated are dynamics in you. That's what causes your pain. That's what generates your bliss. So distinguish within yourself between those dynamics so that you can choose the constructive, the healthy, the grounded, the loving aspects of yourself and create with them. Use that intention, and that intention is love, instead of the brutal, destructive, painful aspects of your life.
So you're saying that we always have a choice.
Always have a choice.
Between a part of us that feels depressed or angry or inferior or superior. We always have a choice. We don't have to go with that part that is coming from a fearful part of us. Instead, we can choose a loving part.
That is precisely the case in every moment. And now that we're becoming multisensory, we see this. We see it. We feel it. We've always felt emotional pain, of course. There's always been suffering and hunger and starvation and brutality, senseless death and carnage, and it hurts. Now, as we become multisensory, we realize, I hurt. I hurt because, the Lakota have a wonderful saying, the pain of one is the pain of all, and the honor of one is the honor of all. Now we live that. The joy and the health of one is my joy and health. The pain and suffering of another is my pain and suffering. If I want to change the love and fear in the world, I know how to do it now. I can see that the love and fear in the world are the same love and fear in me. And the only way I can change them in the world is to change them in me. Everything else is now a futile pursuit of external power. And changing myself is authentic power, and moving myself in the direction of authentic power. And as I do, as you do, you move yourself in the direction of the universal human.
Oh my gosh, that is so beautiful. I mean, you both are so, I consider you to be luminaries of our time. And I'm so delighted that we got to spend this time together. Linda and Gary, where can our listeners connect with you and learn more about your work and be part of your community?
You can go to seatofthesoul.com. That's S-E-A-T, like what you sit on, of the soul. S-O-U-L.com, because that's what's in you. You can follow your intuition, and it will take you to other individuals who are also committed to interacting with you in love. You can read. You can come to some of our events. We'll begin to give them in person, and we'll continue to give them online. Gary Zukav and Linda Francis.
Mm-hmm.
And you can read The Seat of the Soul. You can read Universal Human. Those are both books I recommend. Mm-hmm. But then I recommend all the books we've written and quite a few others as well.
Well, I would recommend, definitely recommend those as well too. Because, I mean, when you look at books that transform, you guys are both on the top of the list, I'd have to say. You know, Gary and Linda, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show with us here today.
It's been a delight. Really a delight, Marianne.
You're welcome, Marianne.
Yeah, thank you so much.
It's been a delight to be with all of our listeners. I say are now because Marianne has invited us into your homes as well. And it's an honor for us, as I know it is an honor for her.
Yeah, so thank you so much. Really wonderful to be here with everyone and everyone who's listening. And whenever you listen, just I have hold my heart out to you, sending you love.
Well, thank you both. I feel so honored to spend this time with you and to talk about your new book, Universal Human, Creating Authentic Power and the New Consciousness. If you'd like to learn more about Gary and Linda's work, visit seatofthesoul.com for more information. Universal Human is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all indie retailers. And if you don't see it on the shelf, ask for them to order it. And of course, it's available on Kindle. Well, we're at the end of our time today. I would like to thank everyone for tuning in. Just a reminder before we go, you've been listening to Moments with Marianne, where we make every moment count.
In a single moment, your life can change. Moments with Marianne is a transformative hour that covers an endless array of topics with the best of the best. Her guests are leaders in their fields, ranging from inspirational authors, top industry leaders, and business and spiritual entrepreneurs. Each guest is gifted and a true visionary, a recognized leader in her own work, and while teaching others to develop, refocus, and grow, Marianne will bring the best guest and sometimes a special surprise. Don't miss this. You never know just which moment will change your life forever. Make sure to tune in and visit MomentsWithMarianne.com for more information.